Torah begins with the creation of the world. We believe that Hashem created the world. And because the Pasuk refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Karnei Shamayim Va'aretz. And Rashi in his commentary on Chumash gives two translations of that expression. One pshat is Karnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he formed it. And secondly, Karnei, he owns the world. That's Avacher, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The one who creates Shvach acquires ownership of that Shvach. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Maisris where the Rambam quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that despite the fact that the Hefker is potter from Trumas and Maisris, if pears grow, fruits and vegetables grow in the field which is Hefker, so it's not Chayv in Trumas and Maisris. Nonetheless, the Rambam quotes a passage from Yerushalmi, Azarez de Hefker, one who plants Hefka diga field, so the pears that grow achai in shulmas and maizos. So the standard mefarish on the side of the page in the Yerushalmi, known as the Pnei Moshe interprets because karka is nikta b'chazok, you can be koina from Hefka by kinyah chazok, and planting constitutes a chazok. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in the Sefer on the Rambam quotes this pirush from the Pnei Moshe, and he doesn't agree. He says that it's not correct that Chazoka to be koine karka is no agora uparatz, but if you plant something, that's chazoka v'cheskes habatim shalosh shanim. That's a different concept of chazoka. The word chazoka is used in the Gemara with many different meanings. These are two different meanings of chazoka. Rav Chaim says it's not true. If I want to sell you karka, and you're going to plant, you're not koine v'chazoka. The Rambam is quoting a chiddush from the Yerushalmi. The sadeh remains hefker, but because you're the one who created the shvach, so the peres belong to you. And that's what the Yerushalmi is saying, that the ptur of hefker doesn't depend on whether the field is hefker, it depends on whether the peres are hefker or not. So as they're hefker, the peres are not hefker, so therefore one would be chayv in shumas and maisis. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he's the one who created the shvach, and that's why the whole world belongs to him. He pointed out that in the Ilah, on Yom Kippur, at the very end of the Vidui in the Ilah, we say twice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us stop stealing. Everybody cheats on income tax. Some people don't cheat on it. I think some people probably don't cheat on income tax. So how can it be? Everybody says, I'm guilty of Gzela, L'man Nechdam, Yoshik Yadeni. You say it twice. Rav Soloveitchik said, because Anushom Balach Vagub Shalach. Our body belongs to the Rebbeinu Shalom. All of our talents belong to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He created us with all of our talents. Everything belongs to him. So whenever we use our body to do any Avera, that's a violation of Gezel. But Baruch Be'er quotes this in the name of Rav Chaim. There is a din in the Gemara, HaYorah D'Tel Tzadu Shalach Avera Shalot V'Shus V'Hishbicha. I go to someone else's field, and I built a whole building on it, or I planted trees. And now the property is worth much more than it was worth before. So the din is that you have to pay me something for the shvach that I did. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha, Tosis in the end of Ksubis, Tosis in Perek HaKoines, and Bavakam, Tosis is bothered with Akasha. But why does the owner of the field have to pay me for the shvach that I did? He never asked me to do the work. If someone comes into my house and he paints the apartment, I have to pay him. I didn't ask him to paint the apartment. I didn't ask him to plant the trees. I didn't ask him to build the house on my empty lot. So why is he entitled to any payment? So Tosis has two opinions. So one opinion of Tosis, the way it's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch, is that whenever there's an umdin in the muchach, that the person, if he would have known that I'm available to do the work, he would have asked me to do it, then there's a din of schiris poelim, even though he never asked me to do the work. So the Rama and Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like that. That in the Middle Ages, it was very common that there would be pirates who would kidnap people and hold up the family for ransom money, and they wouldn't release the prisoner whom they kidnapped unless the family would pay a fortune of money. It's still going on in other countries in the world. South America, it's more common than here. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that if someone laid out the money for me, I didn't ask him to, someone laid out the money for me, if I would have had a cell phone, I would have called people up and asked them, please lay out the money and get my freedom, try to get me out of this imprisonment. So even though I never asked for it, I have to pay the money because it's an imdar in the muchach that if I would know that someone is available to lay out the money, I would have asked him to do that. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that if someone reads you a shidduch and you marry the girl and you're happy about it, then you have to pay his chiris poilim to the shatchan, unless he did it as a teiva. But if he did it as a shatchan, even I didn't ask him to read me the shidduch. If he reads me a shidduch, I'm chayiv to pay, because if I would have known that he can read a good shidduch, I would have certainly been prepared to pay a reasonable amount of money for the shidduch. So Baruch Be'er quotes that Rab Chaim used to paskin not like the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't accept that pshat, because he felt the other pshat in Tosis is more correct. Tosis in Yenu Ksubis doesn't accept that opinion. Tosis in Yenu Ksubis holds only when the other fellow creates Shvach B'yed. He reads Meshirach and I'm happily married, but there's no object, there's no B'yed. If he planted trees in my farm, or he built a hotel on my empty lot, so then there's Shvach B'yed over here. So the one who creates Shvach B'yed acquires ownership of that Shvach B'yed. So the owner of the field has to be Mesalek, the one who owns the Shvach B'yed, by paying him something. He doesn't have to pay the full amount, but he has to pay something to buy it back from him. But whatever, there's no Shvach B'yed, just he did a pe'ula of getting my freedom. So then Rab Chaim used to paskan against the Shulchan Aruch. He held that the pshat and that din of Yorid Shulat B'shus V'Hishbichot, that you have a right to get paid something, is not based on Schiras Boilim. It's the fellow never asked him to do that service, so he's not b'chuyiv to pay. It's based on a din. One who creates Shvach B'yed acquires ownership. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying his pshat. The Gemara has a din called Melocha She'ebed Osa L'Rabba, Talmud Osa L'Rabba. Talmud, who learned by a Rebbe a long time, is m'chuyiv to do service to the Rebbe like an Eved. Just like an Eved is m'shubit to service his owner, his master. So the Talmud is m'shubit to service the Rebbe. Why? What's the comparison? So Rav Soloveitchik said that if a Rebbe has such an influence on a person that he changes his whole personality, he makes him into a Torah personality. There's Shvach B'yed over there, so the Rebbe now acquires an ownership of the Talmud. So just like Eved is mechuyev to do melacha l'rabba, because the Adon legally owns the Eved, so too the Rebbe owns the Talmud. So kol melacha she'eved osa l'rabba, Talmud osa l'rabba. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. He used to quote the pasuk that we say in Pesuk Nisim, Hu asanu v'lo yanachnu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, therefore we belong to Him. So the whole world belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's Kaneh Shamayim V'Aretz, because of the fact that He created the world, that's why He owns the whole world. We have a common expression that the person who goes to Eretz Yisrael is called an Olah, goes on Aliyah, and one who moves from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzla is called a Yoreg. This is based on the Psukim and Chumash at the end of Chumash Bereshis, when the brothers of Yosef shuttling back and forth between Eretz Canaan and Eretz Mitzrayim. So when they go to Mitzrayim, it's called by Yerdoach Yosef Asara, Yerida. And they go back to Eretz Yisrael, it's by Yalu. So the Gemara establishes, based on those the usage of the verbs, that Eretz Yisrael Gaboy Mikol Harotz, Eretz Yisrael is higher up than all the other countries in the world. This is a big pella. We know the Swiss Alps is much higher than Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about elevation above sea level. Eretz Yisrael is not the highest place in the world. So the Chazal thought that Eretz Yisrael is Gevay Mikol Haaretz. It doesn't make any sense. So there's a Baal Hamor in Rosh Hashanah, in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, where the Baal Hamor interprets, and Daf Chof in Rosh Hashanah, where the Baal Hamor interprets Eretz Yisrael Gevay Mikol Haaretz means when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, which part of the globe of the earth was on top? We usually visualize as if the North Pole is on top. Who says the North Pole? Maybe it's the South Pole. Maybe it's Lawrence. Maybe it's Cedar. What's supposed to be on top? So the Gemara says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Nesheshes Mibereshes, Eretz Yisrael was on top of the globe. What's an Afkamina Kibudim? Who's on top and who's on the bottom? So the Baal Hamor interprets the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav. The Gemara is talking on the international dateline. So the Gemara says, the way the Baal Hamor reads it, the way the Chazon Ish has a whole long essay about this, that the international dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he held Eretz Yisrael on top with the Yerushalayim on top. The Gemara says, Yerushalayim Gevayim Mekol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara knew that Ein Itim is higher above sea level than Yerushalayim. The Gemara knew that. So what do they make a statement? Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mekol Eretz Yisrael. They knew that it's not true. So the Baal Hamor says, no, it means when God created the world, He held Eretz Yisrael on top with Yerushalayim on top. So when it says Vayere, Vayivoyker, it became Tzeisa Kachavim. The first place that it became Tzeisa Kachavim was in Korea. Korea is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. That meridian that cuts through Korea and cuts through Australia, that's where the international dateline should be. That's when Vayere, Vayivoyker, Yoy Mechod, when the days began, all of time began with Eretz Yisrael on top. And the Gemara is assuming that the earth is a globe. There are two hemispheres, and the upper hemisphere has Yerushalayim in the middle. And the Chazon Ish has a lot of details about this. What do you do with the rest of Siberia? What do you do with the eastern part of Australia? So there's a lot of details how to work out. People who travel there for business or for other purposes have to ask a shaila, which day is Shabbos? The Gemara has a commenting on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Basar Ma'amaris Nibra Ha'olam, when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. So it only says nine times Vayom Ralekim. So how does the Mishnah say Basar Ma'amaris Nibra Ha'olam? There are only nine times Vayom. The Gemara says Bereshis Nami Maimarhu. What is the Maimar of Bereshis? What was created in Bereshis? So some Mefarshim explain that time, the concept of time, was created. That we can't really imagine. You can imagine, close your eyes and visualize if there's no shul, there are no pews, and there's no iron curtain, nothing here, but there's still empty space. There's time and space. Time is ticking on. We can't even imagine an empty world with nothing and no time and no space. You can only think of things within time and space. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min hazman. That was all part of the Bria. Part of the Bria was that there's a concept of time, and we can't visualize anything that's in the way. Our perception is we can't visualize anything that's not within time and space. But Bereshis Nami Maimar means that the time was part of the Bria of the world. And that's what many Mefarshim explain. And the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva is bothered with Akasha of Yediyah and Bechira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything in advance, before people do things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to do, how can he say that we have Bechira Chavshis? If the Rebbeinu Shalom knew yesterday what I'm going to do today, so it means that there's no Bechira Chavshis. So the Rambam says, we don't really understand the answer. Ki lo machshu v'isai machshu v'seichma lo darchechem d'rachai niyum ha'shem. He quotes the Pasuk. So the Ravid has a taina against this Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, le'noa k'miniga chachamim. The Rambam didn't do a smart thing. He put a kasha in our minds, and he doesn't give an answer. So he shouldn't have asked the kasha in the first place. If you don't have a good answer, so you shouldn't have asked the kasha. Now he put a bug in our heads, and we're bothered with a kasha. How can there be such a thing? How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Yediyah in advance if there's Bechira Chavshis? Doesn't contradict. That's how Rabbi Akiva says this contradiction. In the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Akiva says, HaKol Tzafui, or Rishus Nusuna. The Rebbeinu Shlom knows everything in advance, and still people have Rishus, people have Bechira Chavshis, they have the ability to make decisions, to choose to do one way or the other. How can that be? So the Rabbit has a taina. Why did the Rambam pose the kasha if he doesn't have an answer? So many Mefarshim say, no, that was the Rambam's answer. The whole kasha is based on the concept of time. If the Rebbeinu Shlom knew yesterday what I'm going to do today, it means that there's no Bechira Chavshis for me today. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min hazman. We can't imagine what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that everything is subject to time and space. So we can't even visualize anything. Even if you close your eyes, there's nothing there, but time keeps on ticking on, and everything is within space. You can't even visualize the world, even closing your eyes. You can't visualize the world without time and space. That's part of the Bria. The Rebbeinu Shlom is l'mayla min ha'Bria. He created the world. He's l'mayla min ha'Zman. So that's why the kasha is nishkin kasha. So that's perhaps what the Gemara means, that Bereshis Nami Maima. Bereshis is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something over here. What he created was time. He also created Tohu Vavohu. The Pasuk says he created Tohu Vavohu. And then from the Tohu Vavohu, he modified everything. It made a beautiful world. But the Zohar says that he left a little bit of Tohu Vavohu behind, that we should help him in developing everything. So what is the Tohu Vavohu that he left behind? That's Amalek. There's a little bit of Amalek. There's a little bit of Tohu Vavohu still in the world. So that's what we have an obligation, to wipe out Amalek. The Pasuk says, can't repeated theme, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Every day it says Vayala Kim Kitov. So the Ramban in his commentary Achumish is bothered with Akasha. What's the Chiddush Vayara Kim Kitov? A human being imagines he's going to marry such a girl, and they're going to have a home in such a village, and they're going to have so many children, and they're going to have such a parnosa, and it's going to be all a rosy picture. And then he doesn't exactly marry that kind of a girl that he was dreaming about. And the children are not exactly the way he visualized it, and the home that he lives in, not exactly the same parnosa that he has, not exactly the same. If it turns out to be good, so it's vayar ki toif. So it turns out that it's good. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever he wished, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't have to work hard to create the world. Whatever his desire was, it came into existence the way he wanted it. So if he wanted the world to be tov, so by definition, it's going to be tov. So what's the chiddush? Vayar lekim ki toif. That's what he wanted in advance, that it should be a beautiful world. So it turned out that it's beautiful. So the Ramban says he doesn't think that's what it means, vayar lekim ki toif. He's not passing judgment. Oh, it turned out good. How can it not turn out well? If he wanted it to be a good world, it's going to be a good world. Ramban says that the nature of the world was that nothing existed. Outside HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing really existed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went against the nature, and he created a world. So really, the second after he brought the whole world into existence should really flop back into non-existence. If he only wished it to come into existence for a second, so it should flop back into non-existence. Vayar lekim ki tov means it's sibui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only does the Ribbono Shel Olam said, vayar lekim hior, by hior, not only did he make a ratzon Hashem, he wants there to be light in the world for a second, vayar lekim ki tov, that's a tzibui Hashem that he wants this or to continue on in the world. That's what we say. The Baal HaTanya explains this at length in the Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. The second section of the Tanya was probably written before the first section, but the second section is the Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. So he explains this in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, but it's really the Ramban al HaTorah, that HaMechadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. That it's not only B'chol Yom Tomid, it's B'chol Yom V'chol Rega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continued desire that the world should continue to exist the way He created it is what causes everything to continue to exist. Otherwise, everything would flop back into its original nature, namely into non-existence. And he gives a moshel amal ha'dov ha'doyma. Let's say you have Yam Suf is flowing, or the Yarden is flowing. And the Ribbono Shel Olam puts his hand there, and he stops it. So there's a Kriyas Yam Suf, and there's a Meha Yarden split. So Kol Zman you have your hand there, so the Yarden is not going to flow, and the Yam Suf is not going to flow on. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam takes away his hand, so everything is going to continue the way it was going before. So Kol Zman, the Ribbono Shel Olam holds his hand, so he's going against the nature. The nature is that the water is flowing. So if the nature of the world is that nothing exists, that nothing else exists outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam brings things into existence, so the second after he brings them into existence, they should flop back into non-existence. The only reason why it doesn't flop back into non-existence because there's a tzibui Hashem, b'chol esu b'chol rega, the Maima HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he or and he rakia, the ola, sorah mamoris, they're still there in heaven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everything to continue to exist the way he created it. So that's what we mean when we say in the davening, b'chadosh b'tuva b'chol yom tomid ma'aseh bereishis. When man landed on the moon, so in the yeshiva, there used to be a Rabbi Scheinberger from the Eid HaCharedis, used to come to collect money for the Aniyim in Mei Yishar. So he came to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he told him he needs money for the Aniyim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, I should give you my money. You're going to take my money and hang up posters in Mei Yishar attacking me with the money that I give you. He said, no, that's from a different fund. This money only goes for Aniyim. So he gave him $1,000 check. He used to, and every year he used to come to him and he used to carry on long conversations about Hashkofa. So I remember when man, and he used to come to the base medrash and tell us what Rabbi Soloveitchik told him. So he said, when man landed on the moon, so he said a lot of people in Meir Shorim were very confused. How can it be? The pasuk says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Oras, Nasan, Abnei Adam. And hello, we said it. How can it be that man landed on the moon? So he said, the Rabbi Soloveitchik told him, the Ramban, on the opening pasuk of Chumash says, Bereishis bara lekim es hashamayim es haaretz. Then the Torah continues to talk about the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the animals and everything. So Ramban explains, everything is aretz. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything is aretz. Shamayim means the olam es val yoinim. Olam haruchni. Malachim, that kind of stuff. And the Chumash doesn't continue to say a word about Shamayim. So the pasuk that says HaShamayim, Shamayim LaShem, that goes on the Olam HaRuchni. Oretz Nasan Levin Yodam goes on the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is Oretz. So he was very happy with the answer, and he called up especially to the people in Ashur. That's the pshat, behold. He heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik that that's the pshat in the pasuk. He saved them. He used to come every year to Yeshiva to speak to Rabbi Soloveitchik. On the second day, the Medrash points out that it doesn't say Vayara Lekim Kitov. And on Tuesday, it says twice Kitov. Yom Shuruch Bo Kitov. The Gemara points out at the beginning of Ksubas Tuesday. We don't believe in lucky days and unlucky days. The only lucky and unlucky days are Chodesh Ador. The Gemara says if a Jew has a Din Torah with a Nachri, so the Jews will be luckier in the month of Ador. In the beginning of Ov, it's an unlucky time if there's a court case between a Jew and a non-Jew. But aside from that, we don't believe in Friday the 13th or anything like that. We don't believe in that. But it's a similar Dover. So the Gemara talks about possibly recommending everyone should get married on a Tuesday, Yom Shuruch Bo Kitov. The Gemara raises such a possibility. And in Shulchan Aruch, they have like that. The Rama says that you should start the yeshiva always on a Tuesday or on Rosh Chodesh. Yeshiva always used to start on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. The Labor Day is always on a Monday. Now they changed it. It's a different Seder, so they don't always start on a Tuesday. But that's the way it used to be. That's the way the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch. How come the second day doesn't say Kitov? So the Medrash has two suggestions. So one suggestion is because on the second day of the Bria, it says, Vayavdel, Bein HaMayim Hashem Mitachsor, Kei Bein HaMayim Hashem Mi'alarekim. Whenever you have a Havdalah, so that's not Tov. Tov is when people join together, when there's Achdus together. When there's Havdalah, you can't call that Tov. So that's why, that's one of the reasons why it doesn't say, the Medrash has another reason, that's one of the reasons why it doesn't say Ki Tov on the second day. There is a machloikas hatanoim in the Mishnah and Brachas. When you eat vegetables, you say Bari Pi Adoma. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there are two different types of vegetables. And green vegetables, you say Mari Mini Dishoim. Because that's the Loshen of the Chumash Tachei Horetz Desha Esem Azriya Zera. On the third day of Bria. So because the Chumash Bari Pri Adoma, Bari Mini Dishoim, talking about Bria. So in the Bria, it's called Desha. The green vegetables are called Desha. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say like that? So the Gemara says, because you need pirut. You don't just say shahakal on everything. Sometimes say ho'adama, sometimes ho'eit, sometimes mizayna, sometimes ha'moitzi, sometimes bar piagofen. So even within vegetables, so sometimes if it's a green vegetable, you say bari mini dushan. We don't paskan like that. We hold that it's enough pirut that you say bari piagofen. You go into prate pratim. It's enough. You don't say a separate bracha for potatoes and separate bracha for tomatoes. Separate bracha for carrots. One bracha covers everything. But it's interesting, the Loshon HaMishnah is, if you're eating yirukos, if you're eating green vegetables, Rebbe Yehuda says, say, bari minei dushoim. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, why does the Mishnah change the expression? Why it doesn't say, if you're eating yirukos, say, bari minei yirukos? Or say, if you're eating dushoim, say, bari minei dushoim? Why does it say, if you're eating yirukos, green vegetables, you should say, bari minei dushoim? Why does it change? So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Mishnah is written in Mishnaic Hebrew. And in Mishnaic Hebrew, you don't use the word Dishoy. That's in Biblical Hebrew. So the Mishnah uses the word Yerukas. Yerukas means green vegetables. But the Loshon HaBracha should be in Biblical Hebrew. That's the position of the Sefer Abu Dram. There's a Sefer Abu Dram, one of the late Rishonim, early Achronim, that explains the Nusach HaTfilah and the Nusach of all the brachas, that the Nusach HaTfilah, everything in the Siddur, is based on Biblical Hebrew. So he always quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, somewhere in Tanakh, to show that that expression appears in Tanakh. So not everyone agrees with the theme. That's the premise of the whole Sefer Abu Dram. So the Netziv has a commentary on the Shulchan, he thinks that the whole premise is not correct. But many poskim assume like the Abu Dram. That's the way it's usually assumed in the Shulchan Aruch, that brachas are supposed to be recited in Biblical Hebrew. So that's why the Mishnah says if one is eating yirukos is Mishnaic Hebrew for green vegetables, then you should say bari minei dushoim. That's Biblical Hebrew for the green vegetables. You don't say if you eat dushoim, you say bari minei dushoim. Dushoim is not Mishnaic Hebrew. You don't say bari minei yirukos because yirukos is not Biblical Hebrew. The bracha should be in Biblical Hebrew. There was a big dispute If you have seedless grapes, whether you say Bore Pri Ha'etz, because the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Eitz Pri Oisa Pri Limina Shezara Bo'al Ha'aretz. So several Paskim came up with the idea that it's only called a Pri Eitz if it has seeds in it, if the thing is seedless. So it's not called Pri Ha'etz. So they say that the Chafetz Chaim first didn't think that that was correct. And then later on, after thinking about it for a few years, he came over to that way of thinking, that seedless grapes are not Bore Pri Ha'etz. That opinion has not really been accepted. We have some that even seedless grapes also Bore Pri Ha'etz. Maybe there's no such thing as seedless grapes. Maybe the seed is not hard like wood. Maybe there is a seed there anyway. Probably is a seed. The Gemara in Chulin, Yeshiva will learn Chulin this year, the Gemara in Chulin points out that because the behemoths were created min ha'ofar, min ha'adama, so that's why behemah has more chiyus than oifas, and that's why if you have to shech the behemoth to take its life, you have to shech the both simonim, the kona and the reshit, the windpipe and the food pipe. But in oifas were created min ha'rekek, from mud, so that's why they have less chiyus than behemah, so you don't have to shech both the kona and the reshit, it's sufficient if you shech one of the two to take the life of the oaf. And dogim, which were created min hamayim, b'riyasa min hamayim, that's what it says in the Chumash, so they have even less chiyus than oifas. So you don't even need any shechita at all, just ba'asifa b'yalma. Im kol degei ayam yeyosef lahem, amatza lahem, the pasuk uses the lashon yeyosef, so ba'asifa b'yalma, you don't even need shechting any of the simon. There was an opinion in the days of the Gaonim, that just like the shechet who shechts a behemah or a knife has to be Jewish, so the fisherman who pulls the fish out of the river has to be Jewish. That opinion has not been accepted. We assume that you're allowed to eat fish even if the fisherman was not Jewish. The pasuk says that man was created with tzelem elokim. So the Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They were together in the same Beis Din in Tzfat in the 1500s. They're famous for their few disputes. I think probably 98% of all the issues they agreed on. And 2% of the issues where they disagreed, a couple of issues about Shemitah, about Shumas and Mises. So they had a couple of issues where they disagreed. So they're famous for their machloikas. But most of the issues they worked together on, most of the issues they did agree. So the Mabit wrote a sefer on the Rambam that hardly anybody uses. Everybody uses the Kesa Mishnah written by Rabbi Yosef Karo because it gives all the Ma'amakimus, all the Rambams. Mabit Kiryas Sefer is not as strong as the Kesa Mishnah. But the Mabit wrote another Sefer that's called Beis Elokim. That's all Hashkofer. Easy reading. Now they printed it with Nekudas. It's very easy to read. And it's often quoted by the latest sort. Eshel Chochma quotes it a lot. So this Pasuk, Tzelem Elokim, he has a famous comment. He says, Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chavshis. We don't believe that God has two eyes and a mouth and two ears. He doesn't have a body. It's one of the 13 Ikori Haimuna. Tzelem Elokim means that man has Bechira Chavshis. Much of psychology for many years was based on the premise that there's no such thing as Bechira Chavshis. And then they were bothered with a lot of kashas. So now they're finally changing there. They just wrote the essays now that there is such a thing as Bechira Chavshis, and there is such a thing as tshuva, and you can, and the people are not wired like that. You can do tshuva. People have Bechira Chavshis in the first place, and they can change also. A person is a sinner, can change. But for many generations, all of psychology was based on kfira, that they didn't believe in Bechira Chavshis. That was Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about this in public. Yeah. Some people have the attitude, we all have Bechira Chavshis, so if we choose to do Averis, we're exercising our Tzelem Elokim more so than those who do the mitzvahs. We go against the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a certain sense, it is true that the person is exercising his Bechira Chavshis, his Tzelem Elokim, even more so than other people. But it reminds one of years ago, there used to be such a story. Now it's out of style, this story. But years ago, they used to tell the story about the couple who were married, and the wife completely dominated the husband. So they invited the neighbors over that they should play canasta, whatever, some kind of card game. So she says to her husband, they ring the bell on Sunday night, says, Max, answer the door. So Max goes to the door, Max, at the table. Max, bring the soda. Max, bring this, everything. She keeps on giving instructions to her husband Max, and everything, he listens. So in the middle of the card game, so she says, Max, climb on the floor and sit under the table. So Max listens, he climbs on the floor, sits under the table. After a few minutes, so she says, okay, Max, you can get up now. So he doesn't get up. So she waits a few minutes and says, Max, you can come out now. So he still, he doesn't come out. Then she says, a third time, you can come out. He says, he sticks out his finger and he says, I'm going to show you who's boss. He's not going to listen. Yeah. When we do Averis, we show the Rabbanu Shlom who's boss. We're exercising our Bechirah, but we're doing it in a stupid way. You can exercise your Bechirah Chavshis to do something intelligent. Why exercise Bechirah Chavshis to do something stupid? Yeah, a lot of times, years ago in the yeshiva, many of you learned in the yeshiva, so it was Yadua that years ago the secretaries were not so helpful to the students. So they would keep you waiting in the office. They would show you who's boss. So a student comes in for something, they're paid a salary. They would be talking on the phone with their husband or their girlfriends or whatever. They're busy with some narishkat, and they keep you waiting just to show you who's boss. And whenever you needed something, they would say no. For the same money, they can show you who's boss, they can come and serve you right away, and they say yes. Why do they have to show you who's boss by saying no and making you wait an hour? They can show you who's boss, I'm the boss, and I say yes, and I will accommodate you. You have to show that you're boss by doing something stupid. So this is Bechira Chavshis. The Rebbeinu Shalom created us all with Bechira Chavshis. And just like the Rebbeinu Shalom was very creative, artistic, original, and he had a sense of beauty, and he created a beautiful world, so the Rebbeinu Shalom planted within all of us this Tzelem Elokim, this koyach to appreciate beauty, and to be creative and artistic, and so on. There's a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chaviv Nisal Shenikru Barim Lamokan. So most of Mepharshim assume Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem means that all human beings were created B'Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chavshis, and this sense of beauty and artistic taste and originality and creativity and so on. The Kuzari has a different shot, but that's not the way we usually learn. The Kuzari learns Chaviv Adam Arishin was created by Tzelem Elokim, and Tzelem Elokim, Chaviv Arishin, had a lot of children, so he only transmitted the Tzelem Elokim to one of his children. As it says in Divrei Hayomim, Adam Sheisen Eshkenim Halal at Yered Chanoich, till you get to Noach, then from Noach till Avram, Yitzchak Yankiv, and each generation, each person had Banim Babanas, Vayol Banim Babanas, but the Tzelem Elokim was only transmitted to one of the children. Until Yankiv Avinu, that was Mitos Ushleima, all of his children had Tzelem Elokim, and all of Bnei Yisrael had Tzelem Elokim. But that's not the way we usually learn. We usually learn Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem goes on all human beings. And Tzelem Elokim, Banim Lamaka means more Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim square. It's like we have the same DNA as the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom instructed us for Halachta B'Drachav in Parshas Kisovai that we have an obligation to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we were born with. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, He created us with the Tzelem Elokim. And he instructed us, V'alachta b'drachav, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim. And then the next pasuk continues. After V'alachta b'drachav, it says in Parshas Kisavo, V'ro kalami ha'aretz kishem ha'shar nikru alecho. And the Talmidim of the Gra quote in the name of the Vilna Gra in the Sefer Deres Aliyah is written by the Talmidim. So they say, V'ro kalami ha'aretz, when all the nations of the world will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim, because the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim. That's what the Navi Yeshaya says a few times in Yeshaya. Or LaGoyim. Or LaGoyim in what area? The area of Shabbos and Kashrus and Teres HaMishpacha. That's only for us. That's not for the Ummah Soilim. Or LaGoyim means in a work ethic and honesty, integrity. We're supposed to have a Rosh HaMemshalah who's not sitting in prison. We're supposed to have Chief Rabbi is not sitting in prison. Supposed to have members of Knesset shouldn't be indicted. Shouldn't be sitting. We're not doing a good job. We're supposed to be Or LaGoyim to show honesty, how to have a nice, honest government with nice hospitals and nice prisons and everything, everything that you need for a good society. So the pasuk says, "V'ro kalamaretz," when all the nations of the world will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, that the Jewish people have succeeded in preserving their Tzelem Elokim, the Yoru Mimeko, they will learn from you how they too can act with Yirah Shemayim. The Yoru Mimecha, not that they'll be afraid of you. The Gemara says that as an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Rokal Am Hiyoretz, when the Rambam Sodom will see that we're wearing tefillin, Shem Hashem Nikra Lach means we're wearing tefillin, the Yoru Mimecha, they'll be afraid of us. But that's not the Pshut Lashon Mikra. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, the Pshut Lashon Mikra means when the Rambam Sodom will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Alekim, the Yoram and Mekel, they will learn from us how they too can act with Yirash HaMayim. They can preserve their Tzelem Alekim as well. Bnei Yisrael even have a deeper degree of Tzelem Alekim. That's Barim Lamokim, just like the children have the DNA from their parents. So we have more Tzelem Alekim. But the Yom HaSoilam also have Tzelem Alekim. After the whole Bria is all over, so it says, Vayarokim is kol asher osa, v'hine toiv miyoy. So there's a famous comment that the Medrash has, v'hine toiv miyoyd zahamobis. What's so wonderful? Toiv miyoyd is zahamobis. We usually assume when a person dies, it's a tragedy, even if a person is healthy at the end. It's a tragedy. So the Mepharshim usually say pshat in the Medrash, that we only look at part of the picture. We don't live, we don't see the whole history of the world from the beginning to the end. We don't live so long. So if you only see part of the picture, so it looks like there's a tragedy. So if you have a kasha, how come you have tzadik v'ra'lo? How come we have tragedies that occur in the world? But the Medrash is telling us, if you look at the whole bria from the beginning to the end, and everything will be seen in proper context, then even what appears to be a tragedy is really toiv miyod. Everything is really the toiv. That's why the Gemara Misachim has such a comment, that ba'olam hazeh, we sometimes recite a bracha, baruch dain ha'emes, when a tragedy occurs, and we say baruch ha'toiv ha'meitiv, when a wonderful thing occurs. And the Mos HaMashiach will always say ha'toiv ha'meitiv, we'll never say dain ha'emes, because we'll have the understanding that everything is, we'll have the perception will be that everything is really the toiv. The Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos, Kishem Shemavarcham ala Toiva, Kach Mavarcham ala Ro. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Kishem Shemavarcham? Just like you say, Shahakal, when you drink a cup of coffee, so if you say, Ashayotzim, when you come out of the bathroom, what is the Kishem? Kishem Shemavarcham ala Toiva, you say, Atoiva Meitiv, ala Ro, you say, Dain Haimah. So how do you say Kishem? It's not the same Bracha. So the Gemara says, not the same Nusach HaBracha. The Nusach HaBracha depends on the perception. If the perception is that it's a tragedy, you have to say Baruch Dayan Emes. But they're supposed to have the Amunah that it's really the Toiva. Kol Ma'adavid Rachmanu L'Tavavid. You're supposed to recite the Bracha B'Simcha. Very hard. If a tragedy occurs, how can you say Baruch Dayan Emes B'Simcha? It's very difficult. They have the story in the Sefer Tenuas HaMusa. When I was a little boy, my father bought this set of Tenuas HaMusa, beautiful. Set of Svarim, so he encouraged me. I remember before my bar mitzvah, my father encouraged me, I should read the Svarim, it's beautiful. So they have the story about when part half of the Slabotki Yeshiva moved there to Israel. So the son of one of the Rosh Yeshiva died at the age of 20 or something. He was a very promising young man, and he looked like he was going to have a big future in learning. He was very strong in learning. And he died, and it was a terrible tragedy. So they announced when the funeral is going to be the next day. So the father of the boy who died came an hour late to the funeral. And Slabotka was one of the Musa yeshivas, but they used to be makbir on Musa. One of the things about the Musa and makbir is on punctuality. You don't keep people waiting for an hour. You don't keep people waiting even for 15 minutes. How are you talking? They didn't understand. How could he come so late to his own son's funeral? So towards the end of the Shiva, one of the people who came to be Menachem Ovo got up enough guts to ask him, how come he came late to the funeral? So he said, because the halacha requires you have to recite the bracha, baruch dayin ha'emes b'simcha. And he says, how can he say b'simcha? He was devastated. This was his son who passed away, promising young man, healthy and learned and everything. And it took him an hour till he kept on convincing himself, Kol Ma'adavid Rachmanu L'Tavavid, he has to recite the Brocha B'Simcha. So the Nusach HaBrocha depends on what the perception is. If the perception is that it's a tragedy, say Dain HaEmes. But we're supposed to have a Muna that Kol Ma'adavid Rachmanu L'Tavavid. So the Gemara says that, Bo'el HaMazeh, We sometimes have the perception that things are not l'toivo, so that's why we sometimes say dainan l'asi lavoi. After Amalek will be wiped out, Amalek is the problem. Amalek represents the problem of evil. Tzadik v'ra'ala rosh v'tovlo. When Amalek will be wiped out, then we'll have a better perception of what's happening. We'll see that everything is really the Torah. So that's what this Medrash is saying. If you look at everything in proper perspective, even Amavis is also considered Torah Miyai. That's what the Medrash has on this pasuk. Rashi, a little later, after Vaychulu, Rashi quotes a beautiful medrash, very fascinating medrash. Chasir chasod eterim yeborot v'chaleis masod eterim yitzmach ki lohim ter Hashem alakim ahlaorot v'odamayin la'abaydes ho'adomo. So the medrash interprets siach like the pasuk v'yetzi yitzok l'asuach ba'asod. The Gemara said that Yitzchak went to Davin Mincha. Avraham instituted Shachris and Yitzchak instituted Mincha and Yankov Avin instituted Ma'ariv. That's why when we start the Shmanas, we say l'kein l'kein v'sein l'kein Avraham l'kein Yitzchak l'kein Yankov. Because the Gemara says historically the Obis were the ones who instituted the three tefillas, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we carry on the tradition. Even though it's a big chutzpah to ask the Rebbe Shalom to take care of my parnosah, and I have a pain in my leg, and I have a problem with my eyes, when I'm pestering the Rebbe Shalom, is busy running a whole world. But you have to ask him, we have the right to pester him. Just like the Obis in the Nevi'im, and all the tzaddikim, and all the generations, so we do the same. So we follow in the footsteps of the others. So the Medrash understood, there was as yet no tefillah, no one was davening. The Rebbe Shalom created a beautiful world, but Adam wasn't yet created. La'avoid means avoidah shebalev, to pray for the rain. That's where Rashi quotes in the Medrash. The Rebbe Shalom wants us to pray for the rain. He didn't bring the rain until he created Adam Rishon. Adam realized that without rain, nothing is going to grow. And the Rebbe Shalom wants us to pray for the rain. It's an interesting, it's not Pshut of Shal Mikra, but it's an interesting additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk that the Chachmei HaMedrash had on this Pasuk. When the Pasuk describes the Eitz Hadas, Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, what exactly Eitz Hadas Tov Ra? The Rambam starts off the more in the Buchim like this. What do you mean? Adam and Rishon before he ate when Eitz Hadas was not a bardas. He didn't have seichel to know what's Tov and what's Ra. So if a person is a la bardas, he can't be punished. Cherush had to be cut in a la bardas. He don't deserve any punishment. So why was Adam punished? Adam and Chala, if they had no das, obviously they were b'nei das. So what does mean Eitz Hadas Tov Ra? So the Rambam has an interpretation in the Mor Nevuchim, that before they sinned, everything was so clear, everything was emes or sheker. And after they sinned, they started to have a different perspective on life, and a different twist on everything, and things are tov ra, what's pleasant and what's not pleasant. Instead of thinking about what's correct and what's incorrect, they thought about what's pleasant and what's more comfortable, what's less comfortable. Chassidus is trying to have another interpretation. Tov ra mirovim ze b'ze. The Gemara quotes Rav Huna, who makes a statement: Kibisho over adam aver v'shana bo nasis lo keheter. Once a person does an aver once and twice and three times, he gets used to it. So he rationalizes and he says it's not so bad. The pasuk in Mishlei describes the attitude of the prostitutes. They say they don't want to ask for a handout. Everyone has to have a parnasa. They make a decent parnasa. They don't force anyone to use their services. They offer their services. They don't overcharge. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Everybody rationalizes. The prostitute rationalizes. She says she's doing a mitzvah. She's giving service to the world. So everybody rationalizes. So that's what the Hasidic Svarim say, that before Adam Rishon sinned, what's the relevance of writing this story in the Chumash? We don't have any Eitz Hadas. So the whole story is not relevant to us. The answer is, the Malbim writes in his commentary on the Chumash, the Torah wants to describe a typical Avera, that before you do the Avera, everything is clear, this is right and this is wrong. And after you do the Avera, you start to rationalize the Farem, it's not so bad, it's Milus, Chesrinus, the whole rationalization. That's what the Medrash has a comment. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts Adam Rishon, says, So he doesn't say bi'achalti, he says achalti ba'achaloi. He tells the Rebbe Shalom, I'm going to continue to eat. He's telling the Rebbe Shalom, I'm going to continue to eat. Even after the Rebbe Shalom confronts him, because he rationalized so much, it's a harangeret. He talked it into himself that there's no aveir over here. He fooled himself into believing that there's no aveir over here. So that's relevant for all of us. That's what the pasuk describes also. Kishamata l'kol ishtecha. That the Medrash says, what does it mean, l'kol ishtecha? Kol kishamata l'atzas ishtecha. What do you mean, l'kol ishtecha? So the Medrash says that Chava was crying. And because she started to cry, said, I'm going to die and you're going to live on. You're going to marry someone else. So because she was crying, so he gave in to her. So the Medrash says that the reason why the Chumash writes this story is to teach us we shouldn't give in to do averus because of social pressure, because our wife is going to cry, or that's what everybody in the neighborhood is doing. You shouldn't do averus. If you know that something is wrong, you shouldn't do it just because that's what everybody else is doing. You have to do the right thing. Also, the psukim describe that the Eitz Hadas was nechmad lemare. But the psukim seem to imply that all the trees were nechmad lemare. Everything was nechmad lemare. So what's up is davka over here. So that's it. The grass is always greener on the other side. The grass is just as green on your side as on the other side. That's what the Gemara points out, the famous Gemara in Chulin. Kol ma da'asa l'achman ashar alon kavose. That whatever the Rebbeinu Shalom prohibited us from eating, so there's another food that has the same flavor. There's a kosher food that tastes the same. Not allowed to eat this treif of fish. There's another fish that has the same flavor. Not allowed to eat basa b'cholov. There's basa b'cholov that is muta, khal. Whatever you're not allowed to eat, whatever you're not allowed to do, there's another thing that gives you the same pleasure if you do the other thing. So we shouldn't think that we get more hanoia from doing the averis than from observing the mitzvahs ha-Torah. That's a famous comment from the Beis HaLevi. The Gemara says, Lo Sizal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shech the Yetzer Hara in front of everybody, and the Tzadikim is going to be Nidl Lahem Kahor, it's going to look like a mountain, and for the Rishonim is going to be Nidl Lahem Kuchut HaSaira, it's going to look like a hair. Tzadikim is going to say, the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, how are we able to overcome the desire to do the Averis? And the Rishonim, after they did the Averis, they're going to say, it was nothing. It was a chut asar. Why did we have to violate it? We didn't gain anything by violating it. So how can it be that the same Yetzer Hara to the tzaddikim, it looks like a mountain, to the Rishayim, it looks like a chut asayra? So in Europe, they used to say that the Rishayim are the Zionists who speak Ivrit. So they call it chut asayra. The tzaddikim, the red nechirish. So they say, it's a har. Har is the Yiddish for hair. So that's the whole difference. They're both saying the same thing. It looks like a hair, but the Rishoyim speak Ivrit, and the Tzadikim speak Yiddish. That's in Yiddish folklore. That's what they say. But the Beis HaLevi says, what's the Pshat in Imar? So he says, Pshat is Poshet. The Tzadikim, who never violated the Averis, they had self-control. So for the Tzadikim, it's Nidvalahem Kahar. Kolzman, you didn't violate the Avera. You imagine in your mind that the pleasure that you would get from doing the Avera would be tremendous. If I wouldn't be a Shem Shabbos, I would make so much more money. If I do this and this, if I wouldn't keep kosher, I would have such a noah, I'd have more money, and so on and so forth. And the Rishayim who violated it are not happier than the Tzadikim. So to the Tzadikim, they have this imagination that the grass is always green on the other side, so they think the Yetzer Hara is so powerful like a mountain. And the Rishayim violated. They saw that they got nothing out of it. So it's Nidma Lahem Kuchut HaSaira. So that's the Pasuk describes all the trees. All the trees of Gan Eden are described the same way. They're all Nechmad Lamara. There are different opinions in the Medrash. They're not sure exactly what fruit was the Eitz Hadas. It wasn't the only tree that had that fruit. There were other trees also that were the same. So one opinion in the Medrash is that it was a grapevine. And some Kabbalah Svarim write that that's why Adam Arishan was instructed by Tzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam. He was created on Friday, on the sixth day of Sheshes Mebereshes. He was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas on the same day. He violated on the same day. He didn't have enough self-control to wait till Friday night. That's the Ramban on Chulin quotes such a medrash. On Chumash, he doesn't quote it. Ramban on Chulin quotes such a medrash that if Adam Arishan would have waited till Friday night, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't have self-control to wait a few hours. And the Medrash says, "Mi galo ofer meinecha Adam Arishon." Who can dig out Adam Arishon from his grave and take off the sand on his eyes and show him the Jewish people? You plant a tree and you wait 3 years till the Orla is over. A woman becomes Asura Labaila and she waits a week and a half. She waits 2 weeks in order to go to mikveh to be Materis. Yishech the behemi, you don't need the flesh right away. You have to check the lungs to make sure there's no sircha on the lungs. So the Jews have self-control. We have the ability to wait. There was an old minig in Europe that a pregnant woman would wait till after Sukkot is over and bite off the pitim from the Esrig. And Rabbi Kivegi even tells you on Shulchan Aruch, tells you where to look where the tefillah appears. So the Uberis would offer a tefillah that the women were cursed, Be'etzev Tel Dibodim, that the women should suffer when they have labor pains and when they're raising the children because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So the sin of the Eitz Hadas was that they should have waited till Friday night. If they would have waited till Friday night, it would have been Mutah. So the Uberis waits till after Sukkot is over and she says, Rabbeinu Shalaylam. There's one opinion that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog. Different opinions. One opinion is an Esrog, one opinion. Because Esrog is from the Aramaic Rogog. Rogog means Nechmad. The Pasuk says the Eitz Hadas was Nechmad Lemare, so the Targum Okhalis writes the Merageg Lemechazi. So Rogog is the Aramaic for pleasant. It was pleasant to look at. So that's why one opinion in the Medrash is in the Gemara that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog tree. So the Uberis waits till after Sukkot is over, and then she eats the Esrig, and she says, look, Rabbanu Shalom, if I would have been there, I would have waited till Friday night. And now I waited till after Sukkot is over. The Esrig is hooked to the mitzvah, so I don't deserve to be punished with the punishment beds of Tel Dibonim, because if I would have been there, I would not have sinned. So Rabbi Kibbeke tells you where to find this tefillah, one of the earliest Svarim. So some of the Svarim write, there's one opinion in the Gemara that the Esrig was a grapevine. So some of the Svarim write that that's why we make Kiddush on Friday night, because the Eitz Hadas, the sin of the Eitz Hadas was on Rosh Hashanah, on Friday that year. We say, but Rosh Hashanah, Nibra Ha'olam means Adam Arishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. It was the sixth day of the Sheshes Mei Bereishis. The first 5 days were prehistoric, there was nobody around to see. The Baruch Shalom told us what happened, but the sixth day, there was Adam Arishon was around. So all of history begins from the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis. And that was Rosh Hashanah, but we live in an imperfect world. We don't need Raya's for that. So that's what the Kabbalah Svarim write, that because the world is imperfect, so Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. But if the world will be perfect, Rosh Hashanah will always be on a Friday. The original Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday. So that's why some Kabbalah Svarim write, that's why the minig is, that's why the Takanas Chachamim is, that we should recite Kiddush over a cup of wine to make a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That the Adam and Chava sinned with the grapes. The wine brings kilkol olam. So at that time, they sinned with the grapes, so we want to make a tikkun for that. They say that the Vilna Gaon asked his wife, what did she get for Shechyanu? So she said that she got grapes, and he said, the meaning is we don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. They're not sure exactly where it says this meaning. They say, we don't eat grapes, because Rosh Hashanah was the day that Adam Arishon was ate from the Eitz Hadas. And according to one opinion, the Eitz Hadas was grapes. So he said, they have a meaning, not tea grapes. Nobody eats asroigin, okay. Asroigin are too expensive to eat. Yeah. The Pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he creates Chava. So he shows Adam Arishon, he passes all of the animals in front of Adam Arishon. And it says, well, Adam Lamatza Ezekin Egda. Adam Arishon was looking for a mate, and he didn't find anybody. So what, there was an Alamein that's going to marry an elephant? He's going to marry a horse? What kind of an Alamein is this? I remember when we read Paradise Lost by John Milton. So Milton asked that kasha. And he said, the Baruch Shalom was kidding around with Adam Arishon. But the Raibid asked the kasha, and the Hakdama to the Balei HaNefesh, what was the Havamin over here? That the Rabbanu Shalom shows him all the behemoths, he should pick a mate. So he says it wasn't the Havamin. The Ravid writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Adam Arishon that it's going to be an institution of marriage. That's unlike by the behemoths, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Zohar Nekeva separately from each other. Over here, he created the Nekeva from the Zohar. that there should be an institution of marriage. They should stick together. Not like the other behemoths. They can mate together and then they separate. Then they'll mate with someone else afterwards. So the Baruch Shalom showed him, you see, look in all the behemoths, there's Zoch in a cave. You won't find any cave of a human being. I'm going to make any cave from Adam Arishan. Why was that necessary? Why Davke from Adam Arishan? So the Ravid has a very interesting comment in the Hagdamah to the Balei HaNefesh. He says something that we understand now. He says that medically, the body always rejects foreign matter when they do a transplant, an organ transplant. So there's always an issue of rejection. So they have to give you medication to prevent rejection. So in order that the female body shouldn't reject the male, so the female had to be created from Adam. If they would have been created separately, so the nature of the human body would be to reject the foreign matter. It's interesting, I remember years ago there was a couple who didn't have children for many years, and they had the fertility treatment, and then they had a baby, and when that child was bar mitzvah, so they invited everybody in the world. Maybe half of you were also there. So I live in Washington Heights. They don't live in the Heights at all. We know them vaguely. So they insisted we have to come to the bar mitzvah of the boy also. So each meal, it wasn't in Washington. It was a different, it was in the New York area, but not in Washington Heights. So the doctor, the Jewish doctor who helped them in the fertility treatment, I think from Seattle or something, he came also. They insisted he has to come to the bar mitzvah also. So every meal, Friday night and Shabbos morning and Shabbos Shudas, every meal was in the shul. And everybody switched tables over meals. So one meal we'd be sitting with the doctor, with the fertility doctor. So he was telling us that the doctors don't understand how come the female body doesn't reject the sperm from the husband. They said that's a pella, that's a moifes, because the sperm is also a foreign matter. So just like when you do an organ transplant, the body rejects it, unless you do some treatment to prevent the rejection. So that's a moifes. I remember there was a couple in Washington Heights, they didn't have children for quite a while. And then we found out later that they were both going to graduate school and they decided they didn't want to have children until they both finished. And then when they both finished, they were trying to have children and they weren't able to, so they went to a fertility expert. And then he told them that she had an unusual condition. Her body was allergic to his sperm. If they would have tried to have children earlier in the marriage, they probably would have been able to, but because they waited around 5 years, and now they'll never be able to have children together. It's a very rare situation, but when people ask me about they first get married, they want to know about postponing having children, so I always tell them this. It's a rare story. I tell them this story, and I say, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give you a present, so take it and say thank you. Don't tell them, I'll come back in a couple of years and I'll ask you for the present. He wants to give you a gift. If you're married, he wants to give you a gift of children, so you take the gift right away. So that's what the Ravid writes in the Balei HaNefesh, in the Hakdamah to the Balei HaNefesh says, on Marishan was shown all the animals to not, that there's a Havamin, he should marry one of their animals. That's Lo Bo B'Cheshbon. He showed, the Ribbono Shel Olam showed him all the animals to show that he's not going to find a female human being. He's going to create the female from the male, that there should be an institution of marriage. And why does it have to be, unlike the animals, that each one was created separately, they don't have an institution of marriage. And why does she have to be created from Adam Arishan's body? Because of this idea of rejection. Interesting that the Ravid knew about that. Very interesting. The Gemara has a tradition that Adam Arishan brought a korban. V'sita v'la Hashem yishar par, the Pasuk in Tehillim, so the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Adam Arishan brought a korban to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He understood that there's a concept of bringing a korban, and the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira writes, Mokam HaMizbech V'chuvan B'Yoyser, the place where the Mizbech has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We have a tradition that that's the location where Adam Arishan brought his korban, that the Gemara has a tradition about. That's where Noach brought his korban after the Mabul was over. That's where the Akedu took place. And that's the Mokam HaMizbeach. You have to bring Korbanos Davke in that location. The Gemara has an interesting comment that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam created, Adam Arishan was created as a full-grown adult. He wasn't created as a baby. Who's going to nurse him? Who's going to take care of him? He was created as a fully grown adult, and all the trees and all the behemoths, everything was brought into the world Bitzivyonam. Fully grown. So the behemoth gave birth to other behemoths, and then they gave birth to other behemoths. Adam Rishon brought the original behemoth, the first behemoth that came out from the ground. The first behemoth that came out, Adam Rishon brought that as a korban. Why do you have to bring the first one as a korban? And then the Chazal say, Rashi HaChumash quotes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, salted the Leviathan. He created fish in the Sheshes Mebreishes, and he took one of the fish and he salted it away for the Suda Losi Lava, for the Tzadikim. And then he took grapes and he made yayin from the grapes and he put away the yayin HaMashumar from Sheshes Mebreishes. Losi Lava is going to serve it at the party for the Tzadikim Losi Lava. Why do we have to eat fish that's in the freezer for 6,000 years? Why not catch a fish? Mashiach will come. Hal Mashiach let kumen. Let Mamachan Asud in you. So we'll make a suit and we'll catch a fish then. So the Chavetz Chaim has a whole lesson. He puts together all these Mamar Chazal. He says, apparently the Chazal understood that whatever was created, the Maimar, Pip, Shalak, HaKadosh Baruch, the Rabbanu Shalom said, I want fish to come into existence. I want behemoths to come into existence. I want grapes to come into existence. So the original grapes that came into existence, but Maimar, Pip, Shalak, HaKadosh Baruch, was Mufchar. The original behemoth, the original fish was the Mufchar. And they told us, and they told us, and the Vladas that came later generations are weaker. So that's why the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted to put away the Leviathan, the original Leviathan for the Suda, for the Tzadikim, and the Yain HaMashumar from the grapes, Mashashis Mebreishis. That's the most Mufcha. So the Marishan also understood like that, that he should bring as a korban to the Rabbanu Shel Olam in HaMufcha. It's interesting. So then the Chavetz Chaim goes on to discuss. So when you learn Torah also, the Rabbanu Shalom told us the Torah Shebichsav, and over the generations, the Chachamim developed Torah Shebal Peh. They added a lot. So that's like told us and told they told us. And maybe the Mufchar, maybe the best part of the Torah, is just to stick to the Torah Shebichsav. That's totally Torah Spicha. Maybe Torah Spicha is just what the Rabbanu Shalom dictated word for word, letter for letter, to Adam Rishon, to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. Maybe we should choose that over the rest of Torah. So the Chavetz Chaim quotes from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Sefer. He quotes, Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes a Gemara in the first Perek in Gittin, where somebody met Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what's the Rabbanu Shalom doing now? He's learning the Parsha of Pilegesh Begiva. Oh, so what does the Rabbanu Shalom say? What happened? Why did the husband get angry at his Pilegesh, at his wife? So the Rabbanu Shalom says, this Amora says like this, and that Amora says like that. So you see, from that Gemara, Elu V'Elu Divri L'Kim Chai, that both suggestions were correct. You can't always say Elu V'Elu, but very often you can say Elu V'Elu. And you see that whenever a Talmid Chacham says a reasonable biur in a halacha or in Tanakh, the Rabbanu Shalom says it over also. So everything is Torah Spicha, not just what the Rabbanu Shalom dictated initially to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. Everything that was developed over the generation is also considered Torah Spicha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they should develop it like that. Chazal comment on the pasuk Vayibin es Hatzela, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, so to speak, the rib from Adam HaRishon, and he made Chava, whatever he took. So the Gemara says, "Vayiven mi loshen bina." The bina yisay v'nasa on Kodesh Baruch Hu liisha yosem min ha'ish. That the girl becomes, the different opinions in the Tanoim and the Mishnah. When is a boy? What age does a boy become bar mitzvah? What age does a girl become bas mitzvah? So the accepted opinion is that a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13. A girl at 12. Why a girl at 12? We assume that bina yisay v'nasa on Kodesh Baruch Hu liisha yosem min ha'ish. So in our generation, some of the Reform feel that that's, I don't understand why, they think that it's looking down upon the women. So they feel that the women are entitled to equal rights, so the girl should become bas mitzvah at the age of 13. What do you mean? The Gemara said, Bina Yisera, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Shalom said, the Gemara says that the women develop seichel at a younger age. And it corresponds to reality also, because that's what they write. And books, I didn't read all the books, but that's what they write in articles, that the brain reaches its maximum size, not fully developed yet, but maximum size in the girl the year before the boy. So that's why the girls become bas mitzvah at the age of 12. The brain reaches its maximum size a year before that of a boy. So that's what the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Vayivim Miloshin Bina, Bina Yisera V'Nasan Kodesh Baruch Hu Liisa Yosem Min Ha'ish. Then the Gemara has another level of interpretation on the pasuk, Vayivim Miloshin Binyan, that there are 39 malachas on Shabbos that we're not permitted to do. So one of the malachas is baina. So one Tana is of the opinion that if you braid your hair, if you braid the hair of a girl, that's a malacha deraisa bona. We don't accept that opinion, but we do accept the opinion that there is binyan ba'adam. One can violate the malacha of binyan on a human body. Let's say a doctor does a surgery on a person on Shabbos. If it's pikuach nefesh, so pikuach nefesh is decha kala tarakula. But if it's not a situation of pikuach nefesh, then it's a malacha baina. Baina does apply to Adam. It's interesting. The pasuk says that after Adam Arishan sinned, he hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming, and he hides among the trees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts him. He says, "Where are Ayeka? Where are you?" So he says, he realized that he sinned and he was hiding from the Rebbeinu Shlom. So what do you mean he was hiding from the Rebbeinu Shlom? He thought he can hide. What kind of an understanding did he have of the Rebbeinu Shlom? It's very strange. So there's a famous explanation from Rav Elbala Soloveitchik that it does mean that he was hiding from God. We have a din, in order to say a bracha, a person has to be dressed, but he doesn't have to be fully dressed. He can have pajamas on also and say a bracha and say shakal, as long as you're not undressed. If you're naked, you're not allowed to say a bracha. But in order to daven shmona esrei, to daven tu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that you have to be taka dressed in your pajamas, unless a person is a chayla, unless he's sick and he can't get dressed. But if a person is healthy, he's not allowed to daven just in underwear. He has to daven shmona esrei. If he's talking to the Rebbeinu Shalom, then he has to dress properly. So Adam Arishan says, Rav Elbala interprets the pasuk, I heard that the Shechina is coming, and I'm going to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm hiding from you in the hope that you're not going to catch me. He knows the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to find him. I'm not allowed to stand naked in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So if you're going to appear, I have to cover myself up in the trees. He's saying a halachic statement, not that he's hiding from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Then when the Rebbeinu Shalom asks him, how come you sinned? So he says, "Huisha shenasata imadi hinosna liva oichal." So Rashi later quotes a medrash where the Chachamim say that Adam Arishan demonstrated a tremendous lack of hakoras hatoiv. Instead of expressing gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shalom for giving him such a wonderful, good-looking wife, Chava, there was no one else in the world. It was the best. There was only one girl in the world. So it's the best. There's not trapped, no one to choose from. So beauty is always relative. So there's only one girl in the world. So she was tremendously good looking. So instead of expressing gratitude to Rebbeinu Shalom, he pins the blame on God and he says, So the Chazal say later in Parshas Noach, when the Chumash describes the Dor HaFloga, so it says they were interested in building a migdal b'rosha b'shamayim. So it says v'yod Hashem liras ha'migdal ashebano b'nei ha'adam. So the simple translation is ashebano b'nei ha'adam, that the human beings built. They were building a tower to reach heaven, to rebel against God, to fight against God. Very strange. So Rashi there in Parshas Noach quotes from the Medrash. Of course, ashebano b'nei ha'adam. We should say liras ha'migdal ashebano. What does it have to say that the human beings built? So Rashi quotes in the matter, Bana b'nei ha'adam, the descendants from Adam Arishan, because Adam Arishan lacked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why his descendants later on were ready to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dechai B'Salvavis has this a lot, that the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this midah toiv is very important, and it's this sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that keeps alive in us the Amunah in God, because God is invisible. We don't see Him. So you can easily forget about Him. And you can think that the world just runs by itself and there is no God in the world. So in order to preserve that belief in the existence of God, if you know that God did exist, we have a tradition. Our ancestors told us that they saw Osus and Mosim Nisim and Inflos, that we know that God exists. So to preserve that emunah in the existence of God, so you have to have the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because the Marishan was lacking in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why his descendants later on were prepared to make a migdal to rebel against God. And there's such a medrash also by Paro. It says, What do you mean? He didn't know. Did somebody today never heard of Obama, never heard of Clinton? What do you mean? He was born yesterday. What do you mean, Shalom Yadis Yosef? You go to elementary school, they tell you. Yosef is the one who saved the whole country, saved the whole Middle East. What do you mean, Shalom Yadis Yosef? He didn't care to be Makar Tovah to Yosef. He knew the history of Egypt, but he didn't care to express a sense of Hakaras HaTovah. Because Paro was lacking Hakaras HaTovah, Shalom Yadis Yosef, that's what led to Paro to say, Lo Yadaiti Es Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to set Bnei Yisrael free. So he has the same lashon, lo yadas yosef, lo yadaiti es Hashem. The one that doesn't have a sense of hakaras hatov, this will lead later on to lack an emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The pasuk describes Cain and Hevel as both bringing korbanos. So the Sfarno points out. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu Mibcharis Tzoyram Michal Behen, that really it was Cain's idea. Hevel didn't have the idea at all. Cain is the one who came up with the idea, maybe heard from his father or the Mauritian, maybe Hevel didn't hear, whatever, but it sounds from the Pasuk that it was Cain's idea. But Cain thought the whole idea of bringing a carbon is only symbolic, so what do you have to bring Minam Bufchar? So he brought the rotten. He brought the rotten Tvua. And Hevel picked up the idea from Cain, but he worked out the details. He felt that's not nice, even though it's only symbolic, but there's a concept of Hida Mitzvah. Some people have the attitude, as long as the sukkah is kosher, as long as the talis is kosher, it's faded, and it's ripped, and it's torn, and it's old. No, as long as a kosher talis, as long as a kosher sukkah, as long as a kosher tefillin, so you leave it the way it is. That's not the attitude that we should have. We should have the attitude of Hida Mitzvah. The Medrash has an expression that the mitzvahs of Shluchim are b'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shlucha Shalodim k'Moisai. So we should be mechabed the mitzvahs as if it would be mechabed the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an interesting expression, but there is a concept you have to do Hida Mitzvah. So even though the original idea was really Kayan's, or maybe he got it from other Mauritian, he brought a carbon before him, but because Hevel worked out the details better, that's why Hevel's carbon was accepted and Kayan's carbon was not accepted. Some people think that having an einfall, having an original idea, is more important than working out the details. So the Torah tells us the reverse. To work out the details is more important than having originality. And Cain understood that he's going to be punished. That he says, he guesses, he says, Miponecho es oser. I will have to hide from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you hide from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where's he going to go? To the South Pole? He's going to go to New Zealand? Where are you going to run? Where can you hide from the Ribbono Shel Olam? What do you mean, Mipanecha es oser? And the Pasuk says later that was exactly his punishment by Yetzi Kain Milifnei Hashem. Kain left the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where did he go to leave the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains that when a person davens, or when a person brings a korban, he is in the state of Lifnei Hashem. So Cain understood that his punishment is going to be that he no longer has the right to daven and no longer has the right to offer any korbanos. That's considered a big punishment. The fact that we have the right to offer tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he listens. He doesn't always grant us what we want, but he gives us permission to pester him and to ask in our tefillahs, and we have the permission to bring korbanos when you have a Beis Hamikdash, when it's permissible. That's a big zechus. Cain was punished by Yetzer Cain Lifnei Hashem. He was no longer permitted to be in the state of Lifnei Hashem. In Parshas Bereishis, we have one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya. But then the Gemara tells us the nature of the mitzvah changed. Initially, the mitzvah applied even to all the Umas HaOlam. There were no Jews here till Avraham Avinu comes on the scene. And the nature of the mitzvah is Puruvu Milas Oretz V'chivshua, to conquer the whole world, to populate the whole world. And the Gemara has a tradition that at Har Sinai, after Maimon Har Sinai, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It only applies to the Jewish people. And the nature of the mitzvah is that the world was already sufficiently populated. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't need any more people to populate the world. The nature of the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah now is to transmit the Torah values to the next generation. So if a person has children and he doesn't teach them Torah, he doesn't give them a Torah education, he's not fully in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya. The Magen Mishnah learns in the Rambam, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in the Gemara, that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a non-Jew converts, and he had a son and a daughter before he converted, so we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that he is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirei B'Reviah with the children that he had from before. So the Rambam says, if the children converted also. So the Magen Mishnah learns Pshat and the Rambam only if the children convert. That's perhaps the simple Pshat and the Rambam, only if the children convert also. You're not Yotzeh, after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is no longer to populate the world. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Torah values to the next generation. And then the Chafetz Chaim points out the Pasuk in the Haftarah that we lay on the Tainas Sibu Dirsha Hashem Be'imot So. It says, Koyim Hashem Lasari Sim, Sheish Meru, Shabsai Bachru, Basher Chafotzi, Machazikim Be'ivri Si. So he interprets Machazikim Be'ivri Si, that they support yeshivas. If one doesn't have any children, Sari Sim, one is not able to have children, you should adopt and teach them Torah, or you should support the yeshivas. And the Gemara says, Kol HaMalamin is Ben Chavei V'Torah Ma'ala Allah Kalsav Kili Yalodo. If you adopt a child and you teach the child Torah, so in a certain sense, there's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah period of Yevi. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is only if you have your own children and you give them Torah values. But if one is unable to, or Ben Azai realized that marriage was not for him. He was crazy about learning, so he got divorced. One version is he never got married. One version he got married, got divorced. And so what's with the mitzvah period of Rivya? So Rav Soloveitchik explained Pshat and the Gemara. He was teaching Torah Barabim. So one who is Malamed Torah Lacherim has a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah period of Rivya. You can't just say, marriage is not for me, I don't want to do the mitzvah. But if he's in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah, so then the Rambam quotes that Gemara, so ain't the other avon. Okay, he's partially fulfilling the mitzvah. So that's true, the mitzvah of Pirei B'Reviah appears in today's Sedra, but the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It was only temporarily to all the Yom HaSoylam, and then later on, after Maimon HaSina, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The Pasuk says in today's Sedra, Yitzav Hashem Alekim Al Ha'odim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah to Odom HaRishon. So Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, quotes from the Tanoim, Loshen Tzav, Loshen Ziris, Miyadu Ledoiris, that mitzvah, and Sivu is a technical term that refers to a mitzvah that's binding, an obligation that's binding throughout all the future generations. If something is only Hayroshua, we don't call it a mitzvah. That's the Rambam has a list. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs, where he lists off which, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. So the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he has the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs and the Sefer Mitzvahs, what doesn't belong. So one of his klolim is, you only include mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. On the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was a mitzvah that they had a knock on the next door neighbor's doors, and the goyish next door neighbor's doors can ask for matonis. That was once in the history of the world. Today it doesn't apply. There was a mitzvah that you're not allowed to leave over the mon till the next morning. It doesn't apply today, even if the mon would fall down. You can leave it over till the next morning. So whatever is only Hayro Hashua is not considered a mitzvah. So the Chazal found this pasuk problematic. You're not allowed to eat. But the Ramban quotes the Medrash, that was Hayro Hashua. That was only up until Friday night. If he would have waited till Friday night, it would have been mutter to eat. So how does the pasuk use the verb "Itzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam"? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns that no, "Itzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam" goes on all the mitzvahs b'nei noach. He commanded them on avodah zarah and gilui arayos and shfichas damim and gezel and dinim, all the mitzvahs b'nei noach. And then also on this hayrasha, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but the verb "Itzav" is only used because he was instructed all the other mitzvahs b'nei noach. We are not B'nai Noach. We are Klal Yisrael, so we have many more than the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I want to wish everybody a good Yom Tov and a good Yom Tov.